Hello and welcome to the Chatting Cozies podcast, the sister account to the Cozy Mystery Book Club and the Cozy Mystery Book Club podcast, YouTube's first Cozy Mystery Book Club, celebrating cozy mysteries as a sleuthing family since 2017. I'm your creator and hostess, Angela Maria Hart, better known as @WriterAHart over on Twitter and Instagram, and Books Are My Heart over on YouTube. You can also join me live for our celebration of Cozy Mysteries the last Tuesday of the month every month at 7 p.m. EST over on YouTube. Today we are celebrating Cozy Mysteries with Daryl Wood Gerber. We chatted all about cozies during the 2023 BoucherCon Mystery Conference. If you're interested in learning about Daryl Wood Gerber's creative writing journey, her cozy mystery writing process, and all sorts of behind-the-scenes information pertaining to her cozy titles, please keep listening.
We're chatting cozies, cozy mysteries.
Hi everyone, I am very, very happy to be sitting next to this incredible author, and we've read her for the Cozy Mystery Book Club, Daryl Wood Gerber. She is such a talented author. She writes about fairy gardens, which makes me so happy, and I am honored that she's taking time out of her BoucherCon experience to chat with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I absolutely love your fairy garden series. It just makes me happy, makes me smile, and I enjoy it so much, so I'm very happy to be chatting with you.
Well, thank you. It makes me happy to write it.
Well, it's also a unique premise for Cozy Mysteries.
It is.
Nobody else is doing fairy gardens.
No, nobody's doing fairy gardens, and they certainly don't have a fairy sleuth sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
So, for anybody that doesn't know what that is, Fiona is a fairy, and she's a sleuth fairy, meaning she's a righteous fairy, and she has to help humans solve problems. Not crimes, necessarily, but problems.
Every so often, I'll get like a little Tinkerbell reference, and it brings me back to my childhood and everything else, and it just makes me kind of have that, oh, okay, I'm happy now, I'm smiling. And you had to create your own magical, mystical world.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you go about creating your fairies?
They're real. Oh my gosh, they're real. You didn't know? Okay. Yes. All right. So I created my world. You know what?
I didn't know what you were to say that.
I know.
Like,
oh my God, she really believes in fairies.
No, I had that moment, like, they're real to her as, like, the writer. Like, this is the world. It exists.
It is. It's funny because I write about Carmel, and if you haven't been to Carmel by the Sea, it is a magical, mystical kind of town. It's a real town, but it's darling and charming, and it's a village, and there are gardens everywhere, and it's exactly the kind of place that a fairy would, you know, say this should be my realm. So, it was an interesting thing. I fell in love with fairy gardens first, and that was because I went to a Renaissance fair. And at the Renaissance fair, I saw this woman, and she was making fairy gardens, and I said, oh, what's that? And she told me, and I said, oh, I've got to make one for my garden, because I love to garden, but my elbows and shoulders and I got too old. So, you know, to really do the huge digging. I still go out and I trim and I prune, but, you know, to plant big fairy gardens, I couldn't do it. But little fairy gardens are for those who are the uninitiated, are gardens that go in pots and or under trees and in nooks of your yard.
Yeah.
And so I saw this and I went, oh, wow. And so I went online to look for fairy gardens, and there was a shop that's down in Orange, California. So not far from, well, you know, about an hour from here and an hour from Los Angeles, halfway between. So I drove down there to see what they had, and I walked in and I went, oh, this would make a great cozy mystery. I mean, it was this garden shop that was outside, and it had fairy gardens made so I could see all the different things that they'd done. But inside, in the shop itself, were fairy figurines everywhere, walls and walls of figurines and boxes of them and wind chimes. And it was so magical that I had to be in there. So I went home and I started making my first fairy garden. And as I was making the first fairy garden, that's when I said, I've got to write this. So I wrote a few chapters and I came up with an idea. And at first there was just going to be the one fairy, Fiona, and her aunt, who is her mentor and is a guardian fairy that lives at the library. But it just started taking on a life of its own.
I love that you had the real life inspiration. And I think the follow-up question has to be, why would this inspiration inspire a cozy mystery? You could have written a young adult novel or woman's fiction. Why is this perfect for cozies?
Because that's what I write. I mean, that has been where I started out as a suspense author, and I transferred into cozy mysteries. And so my cheese shop mysteries that I wrote as Avery Ames became very popular.
I was going to ask you about that.
Okay, so you can ask me in a second. And then I went from that into my cookbook nook mysteries. Mm-hmm. And from that, it was like, well, you know, something new, because they ended the cheese shop mysteries. I wanted another series. I wrote the French Bistro mysteries. That publisher ended it after two books, which broke my heart because I loved that series. And so then I came up with this idea, and it just seemed novel. Nobody was doing it. I love mysteries about ghosts and other kinds of paranormal, you know, things. But a fairy was sort of at the, you know, not quite paranormal, as more as magical.
Yeah.
And so I thought that that was okay, and I gave it a shot. My agent wasn't real thrilled, but the editor we found was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And because it's also published with a very big cozy publisher.
Yes.
Clearly you did something right. You captured their attention.
The book club loved it.
Oh,
thank you. I'm so glad. Yeah, I captured their attention because it was completely different.
Yeah.
And it still fit a niche, you know, it fit the gardening niche. And cozy readers, adult readers, like things that have crafts of sorts in them. Many of them do anyway. And fairy gardening is a craft.
So going back, because you mentioned you started with suspense, but you've written so many cozy mysteries, and it's so impressive, your backlist of titles, because you also have the second pen name as well, so people might not even realize how prolific you are. But I have to ask, what drew you to cozy mysteries? Because you have suspense, which is a little darker, grittier, but then you started writing cozies. You have all of those check marks that I always notice as a cozy reader. I'm going, oh, she has her pun. Oh, we have this fun moment. Oh, I love this. So clearly, you know the cozy mystery reader wants, desires, and you continually capture the cozy reader heart. So what drew you to cozy mysteries?
Well, so, okay, honestly, I was in a group called the Guppies, which is the Sisters in Crime, great unpublished swimming upstream. And it's an online group. And when I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, my Sisters in Crime group was very small and very diverse, and none of us really understood each other's writing. And so I was writing suspense, and I found some other gals online that were writing suspense, and we created a critique group. And she wasn't published, and she wasn't published, and I wasn't published, and I was like, okay, and we kept critiquing our suspense. We loved our suspense. And but I would get an agent that would say, oh, I love this, but I can't sell this one. Do you have something else? So I'd write another, and then I'd write another. I had a couple in my drawer, and my file drawer. And so my friend Krista Davis was the first one, if you don't know Krista, but I'm sure you do, crossed over into cozydom, and she said, Daryl, you should consider this too. And I met an agent who happened to be Krista's agent at a conference, and she really liked me, and she really liked my suspense, liked my voice, everything else, but I can't sell this one. And so I had it, and I didn't have an agent yet, so I had my suspense out to a number of agents. Said to my husband, if this doesn't go, I'll go find something else. I was an actress before, I could go and teach, I got my teaching credential, maybe I could do that. And so but Krista said, try the cozy, send Jackie, which is the agent, you know, a couple of chapters, see if she'll read them. So I came up with a couple proposals, I wrote a couple chapters, I sent them off to Jackie, and she said, oh, I just love this, I love your writing, I can't sell this one. Oh my gosh, it was just like, it was breaking my heart. And I finally said, all right, that's it. I think I'm done. And I got a call from Jackie about a week later, and she said, do you think you could write about cheese? And I said, well, okay, yeah, I know about cheddar and mozzarella and, you know, Monterey Jack. And she said, no, cheese, a cheese shop. I said, I'm a cook, I'm catered, I can do this. And I said, how many of us, you know, are competing? Because this is called a work for hire. So work for hire was something unusual, I think, to Berkeley, which was Berkeley Prime Crime at the time, which is now Random House. And Penguin Random House. And so they sent me like a little, it's called a Bible. It's a couple pages of what kind of characters they wanted in it, what they basically wanted the first story to be, and where they wanted it set. And the publisher who had chosen this idea, and so it was an in-house idea, she lived in Ohio, so she wanted it set in Ohio. I was like, okay, knew nothing about Ohio, but I was going to go find out. And I had friends that lived in Holmes County, and they said, oh, no, it has to be Holmes County. It's Amish. You know, that's where milk, I mean, beautiful. It's great. We have cheese here. It was like, okay. I just thought Wisconsin and California, but all right, everybody has cheese. So I did my research, and I wrote my three chapters and put them through, you know, friends to read them and everything else, and then I sent them off to Jackie. And she said, now, and my Krista said, this could take Jackie 6 weeks. Don't, you know, expect anything. And Jackie called me that night and she said, oh, I love these chapters. I'm going to send them to the publisher now. It could take them 4 to 6 weeks before they get to them. And by Friday, we had a 3-book contract.
Oh, wow.
So I had obviously captured the voice, captured the style that they wanted. I read enough cozy mysteries over my lifetime. I mean, I read across genre. I read cozies, I read thrillers, I love suspense. I don't read a lot of women's fiction, I must admit. And I don't read science fiction other than, you know, a couple when I was a girl. I love the Dragons of Pern and things like that. And I read some romance, but not a lot. So anyway, it was just a morphing into a different style, but it's still, writing a mystery is the same as writing a thriller and suspense. You have to make people turn the page, but in a cozy, it's just a lighter voice, a lighter touch, more fun scenes, you know, more food. There's a lot more food on the page, and I was told when I was writing my suspense, do not let them sit down at a table and drink coffee. It kills the scene. Well, in a cozy, they get around the table, they eat, they cook, they bake, they do things together that are very homey and warm, and so it's okay.
Oh, I like how something that another genre is going, this is a little bit of a no-no, is very much welcome for cozy readers. They're going, oh, and what type of coffee? Did you take any with sugar? Is there a hazelnut blend in the mix?
Exactly.
All the coffee references. We want all the explanations.
Exactly.
Like, I found my people.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was sitting yesterday at lunch with, you know, a guy who writes suspense, and he was with 3 cozy authors, and he said, I'm at the cozy author table. What exactly is a cozy? And so then we, you know, explained it for him because it's not what he would generally read, but he liked us as people. He liked the conversation, so, you know.
I think it's also funny going back how you kind of met one of the soon-to-be queens of cozy mystery genres with Krista Davis. I'm going, you get to say I knew her when, and she...
Oh, no, she's my dear friend.
Oh, that's so
sweet.
Oh, yeah,
Krista and I are dear friends. We're not critique partners anymore, but... well, all 3 of us that were in that group are all published and well-published. The other one is Ginger Bolton. I don't know if you know the donut shop.
I do. Okay. We read that for the book club.
Okay, Deputy Donut. Well, there you go. So the 3 of us started out as critique partners. We're now all well-published. And it was because we all were good writers. We just needed to find how to get in there. And even Ginger, she was writing suspense. Her real name is Janet, just so you know. And she was able to morph into the cozy for the same reason. We're good writers. What voice do you need?
Yeah.
But we're all dear friends, and we are still in a group called Plot Hatchers. And so there are about 6 of us in it. And we, you know, bat around ideas. And I'm stuck on this. What do you think? Could I use this? You know, have you ever heard this word? Have you ever heard this character before? So, you know, we are still good friends.
I love that there's a community. It's not if I'm getting published, then that means so-and-so is going to be competing against me for this. I love that it's so supportive.
You know, something like a conference like we're at here, you realize how many readers there are and how voracious they are. They don't just want one author. They want 30 authors. They want 50 authors. They want a variety of you know, food on their palate, reading food. So it's nice that way.
You have the pen name, you have your Daryl Gerber name, and then you also have all of your other titles that you've been working on. And so how exactly did the 2 different names come about? How can readers make sure, no matter what, they always find when you have a title coming out so that they're never missing out on any of the cozy mystery fun that is you?
Well, from this point on, from Cookbook Nook Mysteries, should have thought that one through because it's hard to come off the tongue, but it's still a good, you know, alliterative title. I've always been Daryl Wood Gerber, so that's how I write.
So we don't have to worry about another 3rd pen name?
No, sir, I'm not going to do it. You know why? And I'll explain. So Avery Ames was because it was a work for hire. I had to pick an alias.
Oh.
So I picked the first, Ames, A-A-M-E-S, is the first name in any library. Bookstore, they pull up something and go, Avery Ames. And so it was the first name they'd see. And so it became something going, who is this person? As opposed to Wood, which was my maiden name at the end of the thing. You know, so I wasn't going to choose that. I should have chosen something closer to Gerber, because then I'd be on the same, as Jen McKinley says, real estate, the same, you know, bookshelf close to my name. But I chose Ames, and that's what it was. But that was only for the Cheese Shop Mysteries. Mm-hmm. And then from that point on, I've been Daryl Wood Gerber.
I write my suspense as Darryl Wood Gerber, but never the twain shall meet when you look at the cozy covers and the suspense covers. They are so completely different. You're not going to pick this up and go, oh, that's a cozy. Uh-uh. No, you can see by the cover that Girl on the Run or Fan Mail are definitely suspense, and my newest one, which will come out in January, is The Sun's Secret. And you look at that cover, it's not cozy. It has a Victorian house on it, but it's not cozy.
This is where people always say, oh, you can't judge the book by its cover. If you're in publishing, it's something you're like, yeah, you kind of can use it as a barometer for certain things.
You can certainly use it as a genre barometer.
Yeah.
You know, you might look at a cover and say, oh, I'm not going to like that, but then you like the book. But you definitely know the difference between, you know, this cover and that cover. You may not, for example, on a James Patterson, because James Patterson's name is the cover, so therefore you might not know, you know, differentiate his children's book from his adult books. But that's because his name's on it, so you're going to read it anyway.
I was going to say, that's the selling point.
Yeah. It's his name.
I am curious, because you did transition into cozies, mm-hmm. You said you were a cozy reader. Was there anything you did to sort of learn about or educate or make sure, okay, when I'm writing a cozy, I need to keep X, Y, and Z in mind? Or was it just a matter like you'd read enough cozy so you didn't have to go back and do like a refresher or something? How did you know, okay, this is what this subgenre of mysteries wants, and clearly you delivered. So, well, especially when you say like, oh, they said you're gonna have to wait 4 weeks the next day. But
yeah.
Clearly something in regards to your voice with cozies, it works. So I'm just curious how you sort of went about developing your cozy knowledge.
That's a good question. I read a lot of Krista books. I read a lot of Krista Davis. I read so that I could see what other cozy authors were doing. And then I picked up on the vibes that mattered to me. And to me, it was a lightness. And in all my books, even suspense, it's all about family. And the family network that you create, whether it's with your best friends and whether you have sisters or brothers, whether you have mothers or fathers, it's who you associate yourself with. And so my cozies were all about that. In the Cheese Shop Mysteries, because they've given me that there was Charlotte and she had her grandparents, I was really able to explore that, you know, multi-generational relationship. She'd lost her parents. I came up with she'd lost her parents, but she had her grandparents that owned the cheese shop. And those kinds of things mattered to, you know, the development of her. But then I stretched out and it was like, well, who's her best friend? You know, does she have a good relationship? Because think about it, when you're watching something like Jessica Fletcher, okay, you're watching, I know, Murder, She Wrote. She had good friends, but everybody was related to her somehow, you know. I mean, she loved the chief of police, and she loved the ME, and she loved her nephew, and she just was really friendly with everybody. The people that she always got involved with, there was a warmth to her relationships, and so that was important to me when I was writing my cozies. And then I realized, so Krista said to me, describe things. I went, well, in a suspense, you know, let's get it zooming, don't describe so many things. And she said, no, people are reading cozies because they want to be in that room with that person, feeling their life, living their life. And I said, okay. So I slowed things down that way, but I always still want a page turner at the end if I can help, you know, if I can make that happen at the end. It's not a cliffhanger, but a page turner. So that was my suspense, you know, style coming in there, is that everything had to move along, even in a cozy, even the humor. And I was an actress, and dialogue mattered to me, and I use a lot of dialogue in my books.
I like dialogue because it definitely adds a different component of the character voice, because it can be very telling of, okay, this one's a little bit clipped, this one uses a little bit more slang words. Oh, okay, we have someone who might be a red herring but might be the killer over here. This is why I think readers resonate so much with you and your writing. Again, as I fangirl at you.
Thank you.
I'm just, because again, you have so many different titles to pull from, but
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's utterly, I mean, it's so impressive because
thank you.
I think going back when I was trying to figure out like how to ask this question, because when you mentioned the details, to me, you come across as a total plotter because everything matters and the details, you know, they definitely come back for the end. You're going, okay, I need to remember this. Oh, that might be one of those details, or it might just be very well written. I'm not sure. Is this going to be part of the mystery or not? So how do you go about crafting your mystery? Because you sound as if you give it a lot of thought beforehand, or when you're sort of coming up with that original draft or premise, you're going, okay, now we're expanding the community, we're expanding the character background. Mm-hmm. How do you approach writing your cozy? Because you have a very thoughtful, meticulous way of explaining your characters and everything. So I'm thinking you definitely have a plot before you sit down.
I'm a plotter. I'm a plotter. Krista's a pantser. I'm a plotter. And the difference for those that don't know that is someone who comes up with an outline and someone who just writes seat of their pants and let's see where it goes. Yeah. And that's lovely. And I tried that when I was first writing my suspense. And that may have been one of the reasons my suspense didn't hang together as tightly as I needed. But I took screenplay, I wrote screenplays, didn't get them published, but I wrote screenplays, and in those classes I learned, you know, the difference between the acts and the, you know, the turning points, the climactic point. But I hadn't transferred that into my writing, my book writing. And when I did, I found that I became a better author because I do need the plot. So I come up with my my victim first. And I do always know my victim, and people say, really, it doesn't change? No, I really think about who I want dead, and whether it's a good person or a bad person, and then the four or five suspects that are, and why. What are their motives? What are their lies? What are their secrets? And I try to come up with all that, and then around that, I create like a 30-chapter outline. But it morphs. It does morph. I know I'm getting from point A to point Z by the end of the book, but in between all those letters, you know, at J, it might all of a sudden become K, and then K becomes L, and vice versa. It's sort of like moving, you know, characters on a chessboard, because it's not exactly a through line, especially, for example, I'm writing something right now, and a character came to me and she said, I'm really funny, I need to have more page time. And she is, she's a hoot. And I'm thinking, okay, she is my comic relief. Anytime she comes on the page, people are gonna say, does she have a joke? You know? And she's a stand-up comic when she's not working in, you know, the position that I have her working in. This is a new project, so I'm not
saying more. I was gonna say, I remember this character.
No, she's brand new. And it was so funny because she just demanded more page time. And I thought, okay, all right, well, you're gonna get it because you're fun. And so those are the kinds of things that you can plot, and then someone says, I need more. Or someone says, you know, I may be the killer, but I really need to be nicer and sweeter so nobody guesses it. So can you make me nicer and sweeter and give me a more fleshed out, you know, nuanced character? Well, of course I will. You know, you have to listen to the killer. So, you know, these are the kinds of things. But I do plot. I don't. Ginger, my friend, has to turn in a detailed outline to her editor before she gets going.
Wow.
That would drive me crazy because mine does change so much.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that my editor doesn't ask that of me. She just, you know, she says, I know you're a pro, you'll turn it in. It's like, okay, thanks. You know, I have my outline, but it's messy.
So again, I'm not sure if this is one of those questions that's too invasive or prying, but you both work at Kensington.
Yes.
So how does that work, where she has to send in a detailed outline and you don't?
Oh, okay, so at Kensington, there are at least five editors. There may be more that I don't know of. And John was the main editor, and that's who she has.
Yeah.
And then I had somebody named Wendy McCurdy, and Wendy is sort of phasing out some of her authors.
Oh.
And she had her assistant, who's now become a full-fledged editor, Elizabeth, who I love. And so Elizabeth and I are working together.
Yeah.
So that's why Elizabeth has a different, you know, a different way of working than John has of working, than, you know, Wendy had of working. Mm-hmm. So everybody has their own rhythm, and it just depends on what, you know, how hands-on they need to be.
Oh, I was just curious, because
yeah.
It's interesting that it's not just across the board with Kensington. Every editor has their own style.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, clearly you had the connection where you're going, okay, this works well, and we're going to keep this relationship and the way you want things. We were meant to connect.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that was the way at Berkeley. I had an editor that was just very, I had an editor, the one that lived in Ohio.
Yeah.
She left before I got published. So I was moved to another editor. And she was basically a romance editor taking on some mysteries. And so, you know, she was looking at it from a whole different angle than just a mystery editor would have looked at the books. So it was fascinating to be passed to somebody. She and I became good friends. It was really nice, yeah.
I love hearing something like that. I also love my romances, so
yeah. Okay, well, guess what? I have a romance coming out in November.
You do?
It's on my website. Okay. It's called Hope for the Holidays. It's a Christmas romance, and I am going to self-publish that because the romance market is hard to get to, but I'm going to self-publish it because it's a passion project.
Oh, I love that.
So,
I have to pre-order this title.
Yeah.
I was like, and adding that to the to-do list. So one of my questions for you, because you are so prolific and you've written so many characters and books, if you have a favorite book or character that you've written, and it doesn't have to be cozy, although I am curious about your cozy characters. I mean, for me, I'm your little fairy because she just stole my heart. But.
Yeah, I mean, I love Fiona. I absolutely love Fiona, and I love her relationship with Courtney. So that, you know, that would be one of my favorite characters. But the truth is, I love all my characters. I love Aunt Vera in the cookbook mysteries, and I'm going to love Meryl in the new mysteries. Her name is Meryl. I love Aspen Adams, who I write in my suspense. I wrote three for her, and she was just one of my favorite personal characters that I wrote. One of the first suspense that I ever wrote. That's a book that I had to tear apart and rewrite just to get it right, the next time. So, I'm sort of in love with all my characters, or I wouldn't write about
them.
They're
all your children.
Yeah, or I wouldn't write them. Mm-hmm. You know, I get their research, and all of a sudden they feel like they're my friends. Someone says, how do you keep all your characters straight? Because, yeah, I have written a lot of books, and I'm not a cookie cutter, you know. I'm not just whipping these out just because you can. I really do put a lot of thought into each of my books, and they're like personal families to me. And so I keep them straight because, number one, I have my outlines and I have my cast of characters, because cozy mysteries, have you noticed, have an entire community in them. It's not just five characters. You have built a town, and if you build a town in a cozy mystery, you know, in the Murder, She Wrote series, you know, if you watch on TV, you say, well, there are only five characters with names. Uh-huh. But there's the waiter, and there's the bellman, and there's the such and such, and there's the second cop, and there's the, you know, the secretary and the assistant. There are all these characters in that story that all have names in a script, but they don't get names when they're, you know, seen. And so you don't think that there are more than five or six characters, but there are. But in a cozy, you've developed an entire world. And so I like my independent casts. I really enjoy them.
So my follow-up question has to be, how do you always consistently come up with unique characters in that way, instead of having a fallback of, oh, she's gonna be 30 something years old, she's gonna have red hair and glasses, or have like your favorite descriptive terminology or adjectives, because you always have to keep it fresh and different.
You do.
Yeah. So how do you come up with those different names and backgrounds, and oh, I'm gonna have this really fun, funky, new age name, and oh, we're gonna go classic and traditional over here. How do you come up with the variety of characters that you need for this community?
So, I'll send you a file that I have, because I have a file with all the names I've used in all my cozies, alphabetically by first name.
Okay, is this on your website? Name.
No, it's not on my website.
Okay, that would be an amazing page to have.
No, it's in my computer, and I update it constantly because I don't like to repeat names, so that if you're going from this book to this book, you can say, oh, Michelle was over here, but there's no Michelle anywhere else, you know, in my books. And I think I've duplicated just a couple names, probably from a suspense to a cozy. I've used maybe the same name, you know.
Is there something about you or your books readers might find surprising, whether it's something about your characters or process, or you as the writer, that readers would like to know but might not have had the chance to learn yet?
I've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane.
Okay, that is definitely a surprising fact.
Yeah, what? Luckily I had somebody, you know, as a coach on my back. So
okay.
I parachuted. I hitchhiked around Ireland by myself.
Wow.
When I was in college, and I would not recommend it for anybody, but it was a great experience for me because it helped me grow up. I am a perfectionist, but I'm not a terrible perfectionist. So I have allowed myself to soften over the years, because I used to cry if I dropped a cookie. You know, so I don't know what kind of things are you hoping to learn?
Oh no! If there was an Easter egg sort of thing with the books, if there was a character going, oh,
I met this person, and I mean, though, I think jumping out of the plane is mind blowing. I'm going, she is a risk taker. I was going, maybe something in the books will come up, or, oh, this person is going to jump out of this plane. Now I'm curious about that.
Well, that'll go in my suspense. You don't typically have an airplane thing in a cozy.
Well, we just ate in Cozy Mystery, so we can't go on the planes. We can't do that. We have to go have our coffee and cookies. We're not going to be going out. We're going to the restaurants instead.
That's very funny. No, I don't put in a lot of Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. There was in the Cozy Mysteries, the Cookbook Nook Mysteries, mm-hmm. I put in a reference to the Cheese Shop Mysteries, yeah. because she was emailing a cheesemonger in Ohio. So that was sort of a nice little Easter egg. But I haven't done it a lot. In a new series that I'm writing, there will be some more characters that flow in and out of that series.
So, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's all evolving, and mm-hmm. it's just a lot of fun, and it keeps me sane and as young mentally as I can possibly be.
Oh, I'm so happy about the chance to chat with you. You're so fascinating, and I love your books. So I'm so honored to have the chance here at FoucherCon to speak with you. So thank you for taking time out of your morning to chat with me.
Thank you for taking time with me. I really appreciate it, and I would join any book club by Zoom or whatever if you're going to do that. So let me know.
We're chatting cozies, cozy mysteries.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Chatting Cozies podcast. I hope you enjoyed my cozy conversation with Daryl Wood Gerber. To stay up to date with everything Cozy Mystery Book Club and the Chatting Cozies podcast, make sure you join the email newsletter family. My pledge is to email once a month, the first week of the month, so that you can mark your calendars for all of the cozy events happening in the upcoming weeks. To help other sleuthers find the Cozy Mystery Book Club podcast and the Celebrating Cozies podcast, try and take a few minutes to leave a review and hit 5 stars. Your support and positivity truly makes a difference. A huge shout out and thank you to Daryl Wood Gerber for joining the podcast, and a huge thank you to everyone who just listened to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed this cozy conversation. Please stay safe, kind, and creative. Until next time, happy reading, writing, and sleuthing.